Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. Bill Michaels Show continues on. We're glad you're here today. Thanks, as always. We certainly appreciate it. We'll be talking some Packers coming up here momentarily. I want to remind you that our friends over at Cousin Subs, the Cubano is back. The Wisconsin Pulled Pork and Gouda is in as well. They're limited time only, so go to CousinSubs.com. Download the app. You can also order online. There is delivery available at select locations. Plenty of ways to get yourself some good food and enjoy yourself along the way. That is our friends at Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Joining us now, let's go to Paul Emig, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And, Paul, let's start with the controversy that could be, and that is Josh Jones wanting out of Green Bay. He feels like they have slighted him by bringing in additional competition for his job, and he doesn't want to compete for it. He just wants out. How big of a distraction do you think this ends up being?
Not very. I mean, they have obviously built the defense this offseason. I don't want to say to not include Josh Jones, but they have planned as if Josh Jones is not going to be a major part of this team. And probably that's why he's ticked off, right? Is because he looks at the big money going to Adrian Amos. He looks at the first, you know, the trading up in the first round to get Darnell Savage. And he says, you know, what about me? So distraction, no. I mean, like if he was on this team, he's probably more of like a hybrid linebacker at this point than he is even a strong safety. I think the disappointing thing is, and not every draft pick is going to work out. We all know that. But I remember sitting in, actually, I was with Radio Joe and Bart Winkler on the night that Josh Jones was drafted 2 years ago on the Friday night draft show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my first comment, I kind of got a tip that the Packers were going to be picking Josh Jones. And I said, I know who it is, guys. And they said, like, okay, drop a hint. And I said, well, let's just say that he's going to be Morgan Burnett's replacement. So, you know, 2 years ago, you're talking about a Morgan Burnett replacement. Now you're talking about a guy who couldn't get on the field, couldn't really define his position, and now isn't really a part of the plan, whether he reports or not. So I know there's a financial implication if he was to not show up, and I'm sure he doesn't want to lose money. He hasn't made enough money in his career to make those kind of decisions. But, I mean, are you really going to trade him for a sixth-round pick, a seventh-round pick, or do you just kind of force his hand and make him show up? So not a great situation, but, you know, all things considered, probably like the 35th player on this roster. You know, nobody who's going to make a huge impact, but, you know, not something you want starting your, you know, your June offseason work.
Josh Jones, by the way, if he decides to skip this camp, would cost him just under $90,000. It would be $88,650. And that's almost, as they say, 10% of his $850,000 base salary that he's set to earn this year. So it would be quite significant, losing 10% of your money if indeed he decides not to show. You know, on one hand, you know, as Aaron Rodgers said, you want guys to want to be there.
Yeah.
And you want to go, you want to go play with those guys. On the other hand, what a terrible precedent if you allow a guy that really hasn't made his bones yet to say, I want out, and then you trade him out and give him exactly what he wants. I'm kind of stuck as to what I would, you know, prefer to see happen, I guess. But I think if I'm in that locker room, I want guys that want to be there. and get rid of the guys that don't. And, you know, hey, go off and do your own thing. But if I'm a player, I probably just want to go out and play with guys that want to be around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think Brian Gutekunst agrees with what you just said 1,000%. And let's go back to it. Ty Montgomery, the day after his kickoff return gaffe, kind of said, one or two of his teammates made anonymous comments in that NFL article. You know, Ty Montgomery with you, Bill, actually,
right,
the next
right.
night on the statewide network, you know, kind of questioned his ability to trust people. And it wasn't even 12 hours later that he was traded, right?
He was gone, yeah.
That night?
I think his bags were packed by the time he got done doing the show.
And I think he knew that. I think that was, you know, that was a calculated risk that he took. Maybe not even a risk. That was a calculated move that he made. And, you know, all you were able to get for a guy who, I mean, what? That was like the 2016 season when the Packers switched him to running back midseason. And, I mean, Ty Montgomery was like the man in fantasy football because he was doing a good thing on the field, and he was gone for a conditional seventh. Clinton Dix last year talks to the media in week 4, week 5, whenever that was, and says, yeah, you know, I'm going to do my best, but I know I'm not going to be here next year. And Gutekunst sees those quotes, and he's like, yeah, see ya. Washington, fourth-round pick, done. Done deal. Josh Jones not – I mean, if we're watching like a track record here of the way that Brian Gutekunst behaves as a GM – this is another piece of it, is that if you are a disgruntled player, you're gone. You know, unless you're like a totally instrumental piece of this puzzle, which Montgomery wasn't, Clinton Dix wasn't, Josh Jones isn't, he's not going to – I mean, I think his track record is showing he's gonna deal you, and you're gone. And even if he doesn't get great compensation, I mean, getting a conditional seven for Montgomery is not good compensation, but he didn't want him in the locker room anymore, you know. Bill Michaels got him to expose too much
right.
in the interview. So, you know, so I think that's probably where this is headed with Josh Jones. And again, a second-round pick 2 years ago, that's a terrible thing to have happen only 2 years into a career, that you already lose this asset that 2 years ago was supposed to be the long-term replacement for Burnett. So that's, you know, added to the list of recent Ted Thompson draft picks that did not work out.
Looking at this defense and as revamped as it is, there's many statistical categories that were not good last year. Now I'm going with a CBS article that was written about Aaron Rodgers not having a tremendous season like he had, and then the defense itself finishing lower than really what their overall statistical status gave them. So just about everything the Packers have done personnel-wise in Brian Gutekunst's early career has screamed pass and stop the pass. So will they be better via the pass rush and stopping the pass this season?
I think they will. I mean, again, I think what Mike Pettine was able to do, you know, getting a 10.5 sack season out of Kyler Fackrell, you know, is enough to give the guy a raise, in my opinion, because Fackrell was, you know, cut material coming out of training camp and then turns in a 10.5 sack season, which is, I mean, I know some of it was like 3.5 of those were in one game and 3 were in another, so it wasn't exactly like a consistent spread out performance from Fackrell. But you add in the kind of pieces that they did, Bill, I can't imagine from a pass rush perspective. And they got better, you know, they got a year older, a year better in the secondary. And, you know, secondary guys, corners, safeties, they can always only look as good sometimes as what their front seven is able to produce from a pass rush perspective. But if you want to look on the offensive side of that and talk about pass run distribution and all of that too, you know, I'm going into this season looking at a much heavier dose of running the ball. That is what LaFleur is, he has a very short track record, LaFleur, you know, being a one-year offensive coordinator in Tennessee, but he, you know, I think he's made it pretty clear that he needs to run the ball more often. So from a passing perspective offensively, that's kind of where my head is at right now, is that whether it's Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, Dexter Williams, you know, maybe somebody who's not even on the team right now, that it's going to be a lower pass percentage. And as we've talked about before, from an offensive pass run differential ratio, you know, I think what Sean Payton discovered about Drew Brees in his early 30s to late 30s was you have to run the ball more. So, yeah, I mean, those are, you know, it's so hard, though, Bill, because you say that, right? And then you say, are we really going to take the ball out of the best player on the team's hands and Rodgers? But I think to preserve him, to get him to be his best, that's probably the right formula.
Talking with Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, one of the big things that I was reading in this article, it said, look, they got a gigantic upgrade at free safety while getting a decade younger. Nobody played more defensive snaps for the Packers last year than the 35-year-old Tremont Williams, which is true. Adrian Amos, though, comes in, and that's probably flying under the radar a little bit in terms of the impact on the defense. Amos starred as the primary free safety in Chicago, had a career-high 73 tackles, 9 pass breakups. I mean, just the secondary alone with his now ability, I guess. Boy, it seems like, at least on paper, this team has gotten dramatically better in the secondary, not to mention adding the depth that they've added. So I would assume that this thing, just via the paperwork that we see in front of us, this team should be a lot better.
Yeah, and I've you know, I think the Packers safety group in recent years has been pretty abysmal. Kentrell Bryce starting, you know, that's, if Kentrell Bryce is one of your starting safeties, you are not in a good position. Clinton Dix is your other safety. If that's true, you know, I know the Chicago Bears disagree, and I will vehemently disagree with the Chicago Bears. I think their fans will soon find out why, you know, the Packers and Washington both decided it was a good idea to get rid of him. You know, but that was, for me, upgraded positions this offseason. Yes, you know, Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith drastically upgraded their outside linebacker group. But to go from a group that was, you know, Clinton Dix, at least for the first half of the year, Kentrell Bryce, Raven Green, converting 36-year-old Tremont Williams to safety, to go from that to an Adrian Amos, Darnell Savage, maybe some Josh Jackson back there as sort of a slot corner safety hybrid. Then you can kind of use guys like Raven Green in a lesser role so that they can maybe not have so much pressure on them. In terms of improved positions, I mean, again, we don't know how Savage is going to perform as a rookie. We don't know for sure that Amos is going to adapt perfectly to the Mike Pettin system after having been very successful in Chicago. But on paper, to your point, that is an incredibly upgraded position on the field. And if it turns out the way it does, I mean, to go from the group they had, like I said, with Clinton Dix and Bryce and converted Tremont Williams to what they have now, it is a huge, huge dose of upgrade at that safety position over just the course of just a few months this offseason.
Paul, good stuff. Minicamp gets underway tomorrow. We'll find out if Josh Jones is actually going to be there or not.
Or $90,000 flies out the window for
or
him.
Or it can fly out the window very fast. There. No doubt. Good stuff, Paul. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks, Bill. See ya.
There you go. That is Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE. Or go to schneiderjobs.com. Hey, don't forget, coming up on Friday, going to be down at Polish Fest, the Meyer Festival grounds, not the Summerfest grounds, and it is our annual run walk. Now we have just the walk this year. So if you're looking to get out and do something, you can get your registration fee, and that gets you entrance into Polish Fest. So you get a good night. You take a little bit of a stroll around the island out there. And in addition to that, we do something really good for a very worthy cause, and that is St. Ben's Community Meal. And we help feed the hungry in the Milwaukee area. We've been doing this now a long time, and we've fed a lot of people, and we continue to stockpile the resources, but we can't do it without you. So if you can please come out and help us, and you want to do, look, we do a lot of different things in the community. This is one of them. So if you can't ride the motorcycle with us in September, please come out and join us for a walk, because I think everybody, pretty much everybody, should be able to at least walk or stroll along with us coming up this Friday night down at the Polish Fest, and we should have a really good time and raise a lot of funds along the way. And it's a terrific event, and it's put on by the Capuchins and St. Ben's Community Meal and the House of Peace, and that's who it benefits. And thanks to a lot of the sponsors as a part of it. Usinger is always the biggest sponsor of the group, and they always donate a pound of sausage for every runner and walker that takes place. And that shows up down there. So we can't, like I said, we can't do it without you. So we need you on this one. 855-830-8648. They, unfortunately, as I sit here today, are about to win it. And it bothers me. We'll talk about that coming up next in the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Peace up. A-Town. Peace up.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show. We are on the air. We are glad you are here today. Glad you are here. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow, I should say Wednesday night. Wednesday night live back at the Wisconsin State Fair Park. And same as always, gates open up at 6. 7 o'clock is the music on the Budweiser Pavilion stage out there. Free admission. It costs you $6 to park a car. Zero if you're going to bring a motorcycle out. Enjoy the night. It's also brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. All right. So I hate to say this, but it looks like the Raptors are going to win this thing. Kevin Durant practiced yesterday for 20 minutes. As they said, it was, quote, underwhelming, end quote. I said all along, I didn't think he'd play. If he does, it'll be semi-miraculous. But let's be honest, when they said it was a hamstring or a calf injury, and then it was all, look, it looks like it's some kind of an Achilles injury. And I think we can kind of all agree on something like that. And yesterday he worked out for about 15 to 20 minutes. He was wrapping both legs in ice, knees in ice. And look, he's if he comes back, because I heard the question, will he come back and say, throw the team on his shoulders and say, you can't win without me? Okay, make himself more valuable. Okay. But let's say he comes back and he doesn't win. Does that diminish? No. I mean, if he comes back, he's gutting it out. Okay, he's doing everything he can to try to help Steph Curry and company win another championship. If he comes back and they don't win, well, then he's just too banged up. He's making a valiant effort, but he's just, you know, there's a difference between playing, hurting a little bit and playing, whereas you're really injured and you're trying to play. You know, so I don't think it does anything. For those that say if he comes back and they don't win it, it diminishes his legacy, stop. Just stop. If the guy comes back and he's 100% and he can't help his team, that diminishes his legacy. But if you come back and you can't hardly run or walk the way, I mean, yesterday all you needed to do was see the video. The guy was limping severely. Had ice wrapped around the backs of his legs, ice wrapped around his knees. He can barely walk. I mean, if the guy comes back and does anything at all, kudos to him for trying. But the Raptors have just played really good. And for those that say, well, they don't deserve to be here, they're doing it, you know, Van Vliet, if he doesn't hit his shot, so what? They did what you couldn't. And does it suck as a Bucks fan? Hell yeah. But they didn't do this by accident. It wasn't like you went to game 7 and they hit some kind of lucky three-pointer at the buzzer to beat you. They beat you. You gave them 4 straight best shots, and they beat you, and they didn't blink an eye in doing it. Even when you had big leads, they didn't flinch. They came storming back and beat you. They have a 3-1 lead over the team that's considered the dynasty. They beat them. And they did it quite convincing, I might add. So, Are we jealous of the Raptors? Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. I think if the Raptors were just the Raptors, they'd be fine. We'd be saying, you know what? It's time for Toronto to get a championship. Just like it was Milwaukee and the better team won and Milwaukee move on. I think we hate Drake. I think it's the arrogance of that guy that has made that team dislikable. For as much as people don't want to see Golden State continue their reign, and it's kind of like hating on the Patriots. Oh, they've been so good. They don't deserve to win anymore. Sure they do. They deserve to win because they've been winning. They put it together. They got the right pieces at the right place at the right time. Guys wanted to go there. They picked up Kevin Durant. They did everything correctly. I'm not faulting them for that. It sucks because the Bucks aren't winning championships, but it is what it is. But I think we have genuinely become disliking of the Raptors because of Drake. Kawhi Leonard? Why would you hate on Kawhi Leonard? He is very quiet. He's not a flamboyant or verbose guy. He's not a chest pounder. He's not screaming and yelling. Every now and then he'll complain about a call, but he's been pretty much a guy that just said, look, I'm just going to go about my business and carry this team, and that's what he's done. How can you do anything but admire that? It sucks because he beat your team. He beat our Bucks, but, you know, it is what it is. But I think we just genuinely dislike the Raptors because of Drake. That's what sucks about this. If you take Drake out of the equation, I think we're probably all rooting for the Raptors. Out of the East, the team that beat you, you at least want to lose to the team that ultimately wins a championship, right? So, you know, am I jealous of the Raptors? I'm jealous because they're a better team and we didn't see it coming. But I think I dislike them more and I'm rooting against them because of Drake. You know? At least in my perspective, 855-830-8648. Let's go to Colin listening to us in Kimberly. Colin, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, Bill, how's it going today?
Doing well. What's happening?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to let you know I saw a report on Fantasy Lab's Twitter account that Kevin Durant is expected to play tonight with no minutes restrictions.
He's expected to play with no minutes restrictions.
Correct.
Well, we'll see what he can do. I mean, if he's going to look, if you're going to play, you're going to play. It's the finals, for God's sakes, and you're going to have no minutes restriction. But how effectively can he play? That's going to be the biggest question. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I just heard you talking that that he's possibly Achilles and that might not coming back. I just saw a report that he's playing. I don't know what he's going to give him, but he's got to give him a little boost. You'd think. At least
you would assume. Yeah, you would assume that he's going to get. Look, just him coming back to the court, it's going to take some focus away because they were doubling Steph Curry anywhere he went on the court. So now you at least have to pay attention to Kevin Durant. But my question is going to be, does he even get up and down the court? After what I saw to him yesterday walking out of that arena with his legs wrapped in ice from pretty much hip to ankle, I don't know how much he's going to be able to give you. So if he gives them 15 or 20 minutes and they're quality minutes, that's great. If he gives you 30 minutes and it's a joke, then it really doesn't do much. You know what I mean? So,
gotcha.
Good stuff, man.
Got,
appreciate it, Colin.
Thanks.
You the man. Colin, listening to us in Kimberly. Good stuff. 855-830-8648. Are we jealous of the Raptors? If the Raptors win it, boy, I'm going to hate that. Just going to hate it. Just going to bother me because I'm not a fan of the Raptors because of Drake. But Kevin Durant expected to be a full go. For the Warriors pivotal game 5 against the Raptors. They are now saying, as a matter of fact, I was just getting one of the headlines when Colin called in. Absent throughout the entirety of the NBA Finals to this point, will reportedly make his return to the Golden State Warriors in a crucial game 5 tonight. Durant's calf injury has frustrated and led to confusion among the Warriors players, staff, and media since he injured it against the Houston Rockets in the Western Conference Finals. But we now have an answer to his status. Steve Kerr revealed yesterday that Durant would return to practice ahead of the Game 5, and he's listed as questionable, but this morning in Toronto brought word that Durant, predictably, would be a game-time decision, and that decision has been made. Durant will be in the lineup as the Warriors attempt to mount a comeback. Hours ahead of Game 5's first tip, word came down that Durant will be playing, according to NBC Sports Bay Area's Monty Poole. Durant is expected to be a, quote, full go. So now we wait and see what Durant's going to give you. Stakes are very high, obviously. Trying to overcome a 3-1 deficit in the league's ultimate 7-game showdown. The only other time that's happened was in 2016 against them when LeBron James and the Cavaliers won in 7 games. The Warriors were reportedly always hoping that Durant could come back for the latter half of the series against the Raptors, and it appears that, we'll see. We'll see how optimistic that actually is. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, please feel free to do so. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show. We talked some Brewers a little bit earlier today. And Tim Allen joined us, and we had a chance to catch up with him. Big weekend of Brewers baseball as they went undefeated over the weekend, and they have now won 4 straight. Tim, very optimistic, and then we'll talk about some of the needs and some of the thoughts regarding this team and the monetary aspect of it with Tim Allen. That is coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael's show. We are on the air. We are glad you are here today, and we certainly appreciate you taking a listen to us. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends that are helping us out for the Fisher House Wisconsin ride coming up Sunday, September 1st. Put it on your calendar, please. Sunday, September 1st. And one of our fine sponsors is presented by Bud Light, but our other sponsor in this is also one that just came on board, the Four Seasons Wisconsin, the Island Resort. Four Seasons Island Resort in Pembine, Wisconsin. Big weekend this past weekend. They had a grand reopening under new ownership They've done a ton of renovation. Beautiful place. Mark, who him and his wife Kathy ended up going up there. They took our advice and went up and said a spectacular little hideaway that nobody in the state of Wisconsin really knows about. The resort was half full, and a lot of people there were just open, were walking around with open eyes. What a neat little getaway. I appreciate the advice. Thanks for alerting us to this. Go to thefourseasonswi.com. That's thefourseasonswi.com. By the way, he says, I love the ice cream parlor. So they got, it's such a neat little place. It's on an island up north in Pembine, Wisconsin. Go look it up. And if you're looking for a weekend getaway, you want to swim a little, maybe even a little golf, maybe you just want to take a walk, maybe you just want to enjoy some of the nature up there. TheFourSeasonsWI.com. TheFourSeasonsWI.com. I'm telling you, it's a fantastic place. And they have come on board as one of our sponsors for the motorcycle ride, which is coming up Sunday, September 1st. Put it on your calendar, and we will get you pre-registration information later this week. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, joined us a little bit earlier today. It's on our flagship station, 105.7 FM, The Fan, out of Milwaukee. Big weekend for Tim. Brewers coming off of a sweep. Brewers playing some pretty good baseball. So, look, the question we were talking about earlier about this team, are they this good? Is this what their record is? Are they just kind of treading water? And we started out talking with Tim about a big weekend. They're coming out kind of smiling right now.
No, they're putting things together slowly, maybe. Little by little, maybe, but 10 games over 500 does speak volumes, and you have to... No, they're putting things together slowly, maybe. Little by little, maybe, but 10 games over 500 does speak volumes, and you have to look at that part of it, and then just add the addendum in there that now they're really not playing great baseball, so wait until that happens. Wait until they really get rolling here, and I think they're about to embark on that journey here the next couple of months.
So I was asked, I was at a golf outing with Major League Baseball over the weekend, and I was asked, hey, how do Brewers fans feel? They feel a little slighted because the Brewers aren't going to be able to just jump in and spend the money, and I kind of thought about it for a minute. I thought, I don't think they feel slighted. I just think that it comes with being a small market. But then again, we've been told that money would not be a hindrance if there was somebody out there that this team needed to go get. Do you feel as a Brewer fan slighted at all?
No, a little bit. I think on the big picture side of things, you look at a decade at a time, and yes, you do. I think the landscape is built against the smaller market. It just is. Money equates to winning. It's not all the time, and we can point out lower payroll teams, look at the Rays, and you can get it done. I get it. But the odds of that happening on a regular basis without some of the money, they're challenging. They are. So are there going to be changes here? You didn't get Keuchel. You didn't get Kimbrel. I get it. We deal with it. We move on. But there will be some additions. There's going to be some additions, whether that's Baumgartner or not, whether that's a reliever, a return of Will Smith or some of these other guys. I mean, there's going to be some changes, and they're going to pony up some prospects instead of money, and they'll get it done that way.
Well, I get it. I don't feel slighted. I just feel like don't say money is no object. It's not going to be the hindrance to getting somebody. You know what I mean? Because, and then to turn around in the narrative over the, just reading out of the Journal Sentinel the last couple of weeks has been, well, we want to be in on these people, but we have to be smart. No, that's not what was said. What was said was, if there's somebody there that's going to help this ball club, we're going to go get them, and money's not going to be the object. And now you're being told money's the object. That's the only area that as a fan I can say, man, it would just be nice just to shut up about how much money you don't have when the fans filled $2.5 million plus in the years you were rebuilding and basically stockpiling the money.
Yeah, and it's hard to get inside the nuts and bolts of exactly why they didn't sign them.
Right.
Kimbrel, for example, I mean, who knows? Maybe the agent said, hey, man, it's going to take a ton for Craig to come up to Milwaukee. Maybe there's some history. Maybe there's some geography involved here, although it's just 90 miles, north of Chicago. But, maybe it was Keuchel that said, I don't like the way they handle the pitching staff. And word is out that, starting pitcher might get pulled after 15 or 16 or 17 outs. And I don't want to roll that way. So we don't know the inside story. So it may have been maybe a strategy type situation where they say, hey, we don't think Kimbrel is going to be good enough to, number one, this year to sign him, get him back on track. And number two, the next couple of years, maybe they're looking at an age thing. I mean, we don't know for sure, but it's just the economics of the game. I believe this, Bill. I do. I believe within a decade or so, they're going to have to put some sort of restrictions, more than just a luxury tax on things. They're going to have to put some rules and regulations in form to make this a more level playing field. You just don't get the revenue that you do with the media contracts. You don't.
So now you've got the Brewers heading out on a tough road trip in which they're going to Houston, and Houston obviously the best record in baseball. The Cubs heading to Colorado, then to L.A., a little bit of a proving ground right now for the Milwaukee Brewers, but like you said, they're kind of putting it all together. I do find it interesting that Jimmy Nelson not going to start. He's going to take like a week off in between starts. And did they give a reason as to why for that?
Well, I think they want to go with their guys. And Freddy Peralta is key in all of this. As they with the off days here today and Thursday and with what Jimmy did and what Chase did yesterday, man, he stepped up. He was dynamite. And he's been pretty good, all told, in the starting rotation. So I think they had the luxury of just easing Jimmy into this just a little bit more. And I agree with that it didn't look good. It probably is the worst we've seen Jimmy Nelson in that performance. And that will improve as time goes by. But competition is one reason. The off days is another reason. But you really got to look at Freddy Peralta. He is key. The taking a step back with Gio, a little bit of a setback, and Chacin on the horizon. It does come down to Freddy. And you mentioned the road trip into Houston. I love it. I can't wait for these games. Freddy tomorrow has got a lot to prove. And then, of course, the big one on Wednesday, Woody against Verlander. That is just pure baseball. And we're starting to see it. Bill, we're starting to see you played the highlight right there of Moose's home run yesterday. If you listen right at the beginning of that highlight, you can tell that fans are starting to hang on every pitch.
Right.
As soon as that ball hit that bat, people were all over it in a nanosecond. They were hanging on that thing. That was cool.
It was an electric crowd yesterday, obviously on the bobblehead day for Christian Yelich. And the fact that Yelich went yard, I mean, which really ignited that fan base yesterday, which I thought was absolutely fantastic.
No, you got kids, and you get it, and I mentioned this on the show yesterday, man. Sometimes you have to take a look at a little different view and a little different perspective. I mean, imagine 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old kid in the stands holding the Christian Yelich bobble. They've been that's their guy. That's, you know, that's their Robin Yount to me. That's their Ryan Braun to some of the younger generation, and they're holding the bobble, and it's Christian Yelich, and they're looking forward to it, and he steps up and hits a home run. That is cool.
Hey, yesterday also in that ball game, you had some pretty solid defense. You talked about the pitching, but yesterday I got the sense that this team, and Tim, we've had this throughout the season. I was looking at the statistics after the seventh inning, have not been good for this team to come back and win. It seemed like yesterday, though, you kind of got the feeling that no matter what was thrown at them, they would win, whether that's just confidence over the Pittsburgh Pirates or whether this team is starting to turn the corner. You tell me.
No, I feel it, too. And I feel Craig Counsell is starting to know that. I think the team is starting to know we're not out of this thing. They fall down 2-0, 3-0. In some of these games here in the last month, and it's almost like they keep their cool. And it is. It was amazing yesterday to see Craig Counsell and Clint Hurdle going at it, a little chess match. And Brault goes out because they announce Manny Pena, righty against the lefty. And okay, so there you go. Clint Hurdle makes a change, brings in the right-hander. Counsell then adjusts and says, I'm going to pull back and burn my backup catcher here in the seventh inning. And that's a little rare in the National League to burn that second catcher right there. He goes to Ben Gamel, and he comes up with a huge hit to tie that game. I think they're gaining in confidence, and this is a slower process. Again, we want to compare, Bill, so many times this year. We want to compare it to last year. And I get that. I understand that. It was magical, and it was great. we're not in September on a 20-7 run right now, guys. We're in June here and playing, well, we're in June here playing better baseball, but putting together a great baseball team, hopefully, down the stretch here. That's where we're at here. It's tough to compare it to last year, really. It's like comparing, you know, the 2010 Packers to what's going on right now. You just can't compare that. You can't. Tough to recapture that magic.
If you start to look forward, by the way, we're talking with Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show on our flagship station out of Milwaukee. If you look forward and you say, as the Brewers head towards the trade deadline, their biggest weakness is what?
Despite 16 saves and on pace, and we're not even at the mathematical halfway mark, so we can double plus some of the prorated numbers, 16 saves for Josh Hader. That's pretty good, 32 if you double them. I mean, on pace for 35, 36, close to 40 saves maybe. They still need a closer in my book. I slide everybody up. And we saw the game on Saturday, and Joe did a nice job pinch hitting on Saturday. You saw Alex Claudio, Junior Guerra, Jeremy Jeffress, and Josh Hader. That game was over in the sixth inning, and as long as Alex Claudio is pulling the weight. Now imagine putting a closer back in there, sliding everybody up. That's where the need is. And I know that was a huge part of the success last year. I think they can recapture that, but where that closer is going to be, I don't know. And it could happen where they keep Josh in the closer role because it's more than three outs at times, and then get another eighth-inning guy, a seventh-inning guy, a Joaquin Soria-type pitcher. So it is a reliever to me at this point.
There you go. That's Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show. A little bit earlier today, we had a chance to catch up with him. Appreciate him joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they will treat you fair. 80-plus years of beginning and done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. A reminder, coming up Thursday night, I'm going to be on the road, our first of many. Our first cigar dinner coming up in La Crosse on Thursday night. If there's any tickets available, you got to go get them right now. That is at Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery, tobaccooutletplusgrocery.com. And the tickets are available. You can see all the listings there, as a matter of fact, for all the places we're going to be. But our first one, we kick it off this Thursday night, coming to La Crosse. I'll be there tomorrow evening just to kind of get settled. And then I'm going to be out doing a couple of things on Wednesday. And then we culminate with a cigar dinner on Thursday, as the Bill Michaels Show will be live out there on Wednesday and Thursday as well. But we will be at Shenanigans coming up Thursday night in La Crosse, and really looking forward to it. Go to tobaccooutletplusgrocery.com for all the information. We wrap things up telling you that everybody's now all signed up and ready to go. I'll tell you what I'm talking about coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Let the good times roll. And I want these words to make things right, but it's the wrongs that make the words come to life. But who does he think he is? If that's the worst you got, better put your fingers back to the key. One more time, thanks for the memories.
Welcome back. They are now all in the fold. And by that, I mean the entire 2019 draft class of the Green Bay Packers, now under contract. Put it down, mark it down, remember where you were at when you hear this news. Jace Sternberger has signed his rookie contract. The good news is that everybody's ready to go. Josh Jones, the only guy that seems to be a disgruntled employee, if you will. But other than that, the Packers used the 75th pick overall in the 2019 draft on Sternberger, coming out of Texas A&M, so now everybody is signed. It appears that everybody is ready to go as the mandatory minicamp gets underway tomorrow. So we'll check in Green Bay and talk a little bit more about that as it approaches. By the way, speaking of tomorrow, Jim Callis of the MLB Pipeline, he's going to break down the Brewers draft class. He's going to be joining us tomorrow. Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com is going to be here. Also, some more Brewers. Jeremy Jeffress, our reliever, is going to be here making his weekly visit as well. And Indy 500 winner Simon Pagenaud is going to be in studio tomorrow, getting the mojo from the program before the Indy race. Wants to get the mojo again. That'll be tomorrow on the program, live and in person. Indy 500 winner Simon Pagenaud will be with us in studio. And do not forget that we have Brian Gutekunst coming up on Wednesday of this week. Packers general manager is going to be here. we'll chat with him as well. So we got a lot coming up this week. Real quick, let's go to Mike listening to us in Madison out there on the zone. Mike, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Yeah, Bill, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to preface this with I've been a Packer fan since 1959 when Fuzzy Thurston came to our door selling vacuum cleaners.
Yeah.
Work in the offseason. But my question is, do you think that Aaron Rodgers will or should play more in the preseason under this new offense?
Yes. Yes, he will. I believe he will. I believe that he will be not only playing more, but that he should play more. And now how much more, that's yet to be seen. But I believe he will be playing more this preseason, just because it's a new offense, needs new familiarity. So how much more? Is it a quarter more? Is it 10 snaps more? But I don't know, but I know that he will be playing more. I would assume he would be playing more.
Maybe you can ask that Paul Emick that tomorrow.
We'll ask Paul. We'll ask Mike Clemens the exact same thing. Appreciate it, man. Thanks, Mike. So back at it again tomorrow as the Packers begin their mandatory minicamp. And we'll talk a lot of baseball tomorrow as well. So hang out for that. And don't forget, we will ask Brian Gutekunst maybe that exact question come on Wednesday when the general manager of your Green Bay Packers is going to be here joining us as well. So a lot coming up. Time for us to get out of here as day one of the week is now done and in the books. We'll be back at it again tomorrow. Looking forward to it as always. Until then, have a good one. Sleep.
Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.